Now our reading this morning is found in John's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 1. John, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 1. John 18, verse 1 says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 18. Today says, the return of another Easter Sunday morning. We often refer to this as Resurrection Day, and as believers we come with a deep sense of gratitude to worship our living and exalted Savior. The hymn writer reminds us of a day like this when he penned the words, Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. What tremendous words those are. And what a great joy and privilege to be gathered together on a day such as this, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, has risen again from the dead, and that he lives in the power of an endless life. Let me look at the Gospel of John, and in particular these chapters from John 18 through to 21. We're given a very detailed account of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to read all those chapters today. In fact, I've simply read some verses from John 18 to sort of set the foundation for what we're going to think about this morning. But those chapters reveal to us some very different people in different situations confronting different incidents in their own lives. And all of them are people that the Lord Jesus Christ made an impact on. And when we look at them, we've got to look at ourselves and consider this morning our own relationship with Jesus Christ in the light of the Easter message. Jesus Christ himself knew that the cross lay at the very center or heart of his mission. And in our reading today, the hour has now come when Jesus Christ will be taken from his disciples, led to Golgotha's hillside, and there he'll be nailed to an old rugged cross. And as John brings his account to us of all the events of that time, he brings to our attention some people. And there are three characters to consider this morning as you and I on this Easter Sunday look afresh at our own relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so important that we do that. And there are at least three characters here who help us to consider such a relationship. The first is Judas, the man who kissed the door to heaven. What an opportunity. The second is Peter, the man who remained afar off. And the third is Mary, a broken-hearted woman who needed the comfort of the Savior. Oh, I know there are many others, and I'm sure as we read through the Easter message that all of us have our own different individuals, but these three to me are important on a day like this. Because in one, there's a word of warning for the man or woman without Christ. There's a word of challenge for any believer who's cold of heart. And there's a word of comfort for any saint of God discouraged today on the pathway of life. So here they are, three of them. We'll look at them briefly as time permits. Judas. What an interesting character Judas Iscariot is. He's already, of course, been introduced to us in John's Gospel, if you're familiar with this particular book, and you'll see him as the treasurer of this little band of disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ had called to himself. You'll remember that how Jesus had got alongside them, bit by bit, one by one, and he had drawn around him this band of men that we refer to as the disciples of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of them is this man, Judas Iscariot. And Judas was the treasurer of this little group of people. Now remember that Jesus Christ had been with these disciples now for 3 years. Not only has he been teaching them, he has been training them for the work they were going to have to do after he had gone from them. And soon he's going to go on the cross, die the death we should have died. After his resurrection from the dead, he'll show himself alive, the Bible says, by many infallible proofs, and then he will ascend back to heaven to the place that was rightfully his. And when he's gone, then the disciples must pick up the mantle, and with these words ringing in their ears, they must go out into all the world and take the gospel to every man and woman under heaven. What a responsibility. But you know, by this stage in our reading, Judas Iscariot has already left this band of disciples. Judas Iscariot is now away from the disciples and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone with the intention of betraying Jesus Christ to the authorities. Now, this is the same man who previously had sat and supped with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember there was that occasion when all the disciples gathered together. Jesus had things to say to them that were vitally important. And Jesus said this, one of you will betray me. The disciples didn't know who it was. In fact, one by one, they turn around and they say to the Lord Jesus Christ, is it me? Is it me? And then we discover that Judas is brought out into the open as the man who had walked with the 12 and worked with the 12 and yet never belonged to them. For he was the one who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd love the time today to look at all the information about Judas Iscariot. I can't do that. But as this story reveals to us here about this man and his character and conduct, you'll note that he goes right into the garden, having crossed the brook Kidron. The word in Hebrew means the dark waters. Very appropriate for a time like this as Calvary's approaching and as the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about his death on the cross. But this was a very special place, for Jesus had often gone there and his disciples had gone there. It was a retreat for them when they came apart from the busyness of their ministry. It was a haven for them when all the crowds of people thronged around them as Jesus spoke to them the word of God. It was a place they could sit and rest and be refreshed. It was a place well known, certainly not just to the disciples, but to Judas. And Judas comes. And then he hands the Lord Jesus over to the authorities. And we're told he did it all for 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. But Judas is a remarkable character. So much about him that is very interesting. But I want you to grasp today that when Judas came with the group who accompanied him to take the Lord Jesus Christ from the midst of the disciples, this man came and he kissed the Lord Jesus Christ on the brow. And what was so often a mark of affection between friends, something that signified love. On Judas' part, there is no love. There's a heart that is filled with deceit. There's a man who was willing to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who earlier had sat with him and with the disciples, he's now standing with the enemies of Christ. And he's come to betray the Savior. Say this very carefully and very reverently. He kissed the very door to heaven. And he went out and was lost forever. Tell me today, where does this new Easter Sunday find you? Are you a Christian who's out in the meeting today with a heart that is buzzing and a heart filled with gratitude at every thought of Christ, able to stand and sing, I stand forgiven at the cross and Jesus Christ means everything to you. You'll never tire of praising him for Calvary. Is that where you are this morning? Or could it be as you sit here amongst the people who meet here regularly, is it today that you don't know Christ? You're not a Christian. You've never yet come to that place where you have received him to be your Savior, and today you're not yet saved. And what does the Easter message mean to you? Very little. What does Christ mean to you? Not enough. What does heaven mean to you? Never thought about it. Friend, listen, Easter gives you the opportunity to do just that. For Jesus Christ has come into the world. And he has come into the world to go all the way to the cross at Calvary to die in your stead, to take your place, to pay the debt for your sin. And not only did he die and was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He's a living Savior. He wants to save you. He's waiting to save you. And he's the only one who's able to save you. And he'll do it this very day. If you'll come in repentance, if you'll come in simple childlike faith and bow your knee before him, understanding that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, understanding that Jesus Christ is the only hope you have in time and for eternity, and that you would come today and bow your heart before him and take him as your Savior, that you might start out this new Easter Sunday morning with your faith in Jesus Christ. And with the hope of heaven in your soul. And knowing that whatever happens in life and even death itself, that you could say today, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. And I know heaven will be my home. Where are you found this morning? Some of you might have been sitting under God's word for years, not saved. Waiting for an opportunity, not one this morning, but one further down the line. Waiting just for another opportunity, the right opportunity, to come to know Christ. You've waited. The Spirit of God has wooed you. And God has warned you, and the preacher has appealed to you, and you're still not saved. You're looking for another opportunity. To put it another way, perhaps you've thought about it often, and you nearly stepped out on the side of Christ, but you didn't. Judas kissed the door to heaven. For Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And yet Judas went out, and the Bible tells us about his final end. You're here today, you don't belong to Christ. Easter gives you the opportunity to do something about it and come to know Christ as your Savior and have the joy and knowledge of sins forgiven. Judas, what a character. The man who kissed the door to heaven. What about Peter, the second character we come to? You know, as Calvary approaches, and as many then leave the Lord Jesus Christ and go away from him, the one man surely you would think about who would stay the course, the one man that you would think about would be standing with the Lord Jesus shoulder to shoulder, was this man Peter. I mean, after all, this is the man when questions were asked and the disciples were slow to respond. This is the man who stepped forward, the one who was bold in speech, the one always willing to defend, the one who was always willing to speak out on behalf of the disciples. You remember the time when Jesus met with them after they returned from their mission. And Jesus questioned them and said to them, look, you've been out and about, who do the people say I am? Of course, the people were confused and the disciples threw out all kinds of names. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And bold Peter turns around. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ever the spokesman. Ever the one who was willing to stand up and be counted. At this stage of Peter's life, he remained afar off. That's not a criticism, it's a truth. But you know something? It hadn't been like that, because when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter was in a fighting mood. He'd have made a great Ulster man. He was in a fighting mood. For do you see, when they came there to the garden, the courage he portrayed, my, it's wonderful. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. Smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, and Jesus said to him, Peter, put up your sword. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And Judas arrives, the temple priests come, he betrays Christ. And Peter's prepared to fight. With great courage will defend the Lord to the end. This man, volatile at heart, bold to the end, willing to defend the Savior, willing to take out his sword and fight. And that's not the first time Peter had shown great courage. He even said to Jesus Christ on one occasion, he says, Lord, even if all men forsake you, I won't. Lord, you can depend on me. Whatever others do, Lord, you can depend on me. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ is taken, led away to the house of Caiaphas, one of the gospel writers puts it like this. He says, Peter remained afar off. He still followed Christ. But now it's at a distance. He's still concerned about Christ, but didn't want to get involved in all of this. He said he loved Christ, would die for Christ, and when he was asked if he belonged to Christ, his response is, I do not. Courage is gone. The fight has left him. The boldness is disappearing. And Peter denies the Lord and he went out. When the cock crew, he went out and he wept bitterly. I wonder today, before we condemn Peter, and I'm not condemning him, I'm just trying to open up what it says about him at this stage of his life. Looking at his attitude and actions, I wonder, is this where this Easter Sunday morning finds me? Is this where it finds you? Oh yes, you're a saved person. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the only thing is you're following him afar off. You're at a distance from him. The intimacy has gone. The sweetness of daily walking with Jesus Christ is no more. Oh, you still have a general interest in Christian things, even in Christian workers, but you don't want to get too involved. And maybe today, brother or sister in Christ, you're out of sorts spiritually. And there's not the zeal and the passion there used to be at every thought of Jesus Christ. You might say to me, Pastor, hold on a moment. I know I'm struggling. I've struggled for a long time. Pastor, God knows my heart today, and he knows, and I know, I'm not in the place where I used to be. But what on earth can I do about it? Well, you see, Peter didn't stay where he was at this stage of his life, remaining afar off, because when word was sent that Jesus had risen again, they were told to go and tell his disciples and Peter. The Lord didn't forget about Peter. He denied him. Yeah. The Lord didn't forget about Peter. And when they met together at the Sea of Tiberias and enjoyed that meal, when Peter was completely discouraged and devastated, the Lord took Peter and he spoke to him personally and he restored him. And when you come from the end of John's Gospel, from the Sea of Tiberias, you come to the upper room and then you go out onto the streets of Jerusalem. Where's Peter? Is he afar off? No. He's in the thrust of the battle. The boldness, the courage, everything has returned. Here's a man who's standing up, proclaiming Christ, who died and rose again, and who is the Savior of all men. What a transformation. See, what I'm saying today is this. It's not too late for you to turn around. It's not too late for you to pick up the embers of your life that are just flickering and hand them back into the hands of the Lord that he might take you and use you. Who's to say down the road 5, 10 years you'll not be standing here doing what I'm doing this morning? Who's to say in a few years' time you'll not be out somewhere across the world serving the Lord to the best of your ability? Yes, you'll look back to those days when you remained afar off, but then all of a sudden you were brought back, your soul was inspired, the flames were rekindled, and Christ means everything to you. That's what it's about. And if today you're away from the Lord and struggling, be honest about that. And deal with that. And come to him. Especially at this Easter time when there's so much for you to consider. Especially when you think of all that Christ has done for us. Take a look at the cross today. And realize that on the cross he gave everything for you. Everything. Brother or sister in Christ, though you might remain afar off today, he poured out his own soul unto death for you. For you. If your heart's cold and your relationship's not what it used to be and should be, remember the words of the hymn writer. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus does now. Those are the words you should be singing today from a full heart. When you think of Calvary and all he's done on the cross, when you think of the tomb that's empty and the victory that he's gained, when you think of the promise that he's given that one day he's coming again to take you home, when you have his promise daily that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, listen, your response today should be, and it must be, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. Is that how it is today? Because that's the way it needs to be. And Easter Sunday is a great opportunity for you to turn round and say to him, Lord, in the light of all you've done for me, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from you. I've remained at a distance. My quiet time is gone. Lord, my life's just not right. But Lord, I'm coming home, back to the place I should be. Judas, the man who kissed the door to heaven. Peter, the man who remained afar off. Mary, the woman who was heartbroken and needed comfort. You know, of all the stories pertaining to the Easter story, I love this one. You and I know that the cross was not the end. It didn't end in failure. The tomb could not hold him. He rose again. The power of Satan was destroyed. Christ was the mighty victor. The grave today has lost its sting. The tomb is empty. There's help and hope for every child of God trusting in Christ. But you know, as the Easter story unfolds, John tells us about Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb. She didn't come on her own because we're told she came with others, and to their surprise, the tomb was opened. The stone was rolled away. The body had gone. The tomb is empty. Jesus is no longer there. It's just as the scripture says. Why look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Hallelujah for that. And Mary now comes to the tomb, and there at the tomb, she's downcast. Word is spread. Christ's body is gone. It's disappeared. She runs and tells Peter and John what has happened. They come to the tomb. It's just as Mary said. What happened? Well, the angel would soon reveal what would happen. But in the meantime, Mary stands outside the tomb weeping. This was the woman who, the scripture says, out of her were cast seven demons. And while others had condemned her for her sinful life, Jesus had reached her and changed her life, given her hope, and she greatly appreciated it. And here she is, and she's now at the tomb. The stone's gone, and so too is the body. And they've all left, and she's all alone, and she's heartbroken. And here's what it says in verse 11 of John 20. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. You see, that's strange, because she's weeping that the tomb was empty. She should have been rejoicing that the tomb was empty. But she hadn't grasped yet, and others hadn't grasped the meaning of all of this. She is weeping. Not even a conversation with two angels is sufficient to satisfy her need. Then she goes across. She sees a man. She perceives he's the gardener. She goes across and she says to him, tell me, where have they laid? Where have they laid the body of Jesus of Nazareth? He turns around. He looks at her. He says, Mary. She knew that voice. It warmed her heart. And she's filled with enthusiasm and she turns around, she says to a master or teacher. She wants to hug him and Jesus says, don't do that, Mary, because I haven't yet ascended to my Father and your Father. But he ministered to her with all her great need. And A.W. Pink puts it like this. He says that the risen Lord Jesus Christ turned a weeper into a worshiper. Mary. That's all it took. Mary. And the voice of the Lord picked her up. And she knew of a truth. He is risen indeed. Does this meeting today find you in Mary's shoes? Sorrowing. Because a loved one you've lost, you miss them still, your heart is hurting. Got to visit family and friends today since this time last year, a chair is empty. Loved one is gone and you miss him or her dearly. The Lord understands that. Come to him today, the one who wipes away every tear from our eyes. And he'll help you through this. And he'll minister to you. If you turn your eyes upon him. Maybe today you're struggling just with everyday life. Everything that's coming your way, you can't cope with it. Pastor, if you only knew the situation I find myself in today. I'm just at the end of my tether. Pastor, I just feel that I can't give any more. And I just can't take any more. Can I say to you, brother or sister in Christ, listen. Just like the two on the way to Emmaus, Jesus himself will draw near and go with you. Don't have to go alone. You don't have to face it alone. Jesus says, look, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you continually. Maybe you're coping with sickness. Maybe you're weighed down with many a care. Maybe today, like Mary, absolutely distressed about life. Pastor, where do I turn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. He never fails the soul that trusts in him. Though disappointments come and hope burns dim, he never fails. He never fails the soul that trusts in him, though sorrow's cup should overflow the brim. He never fails. He didn't fail Mary. And he won't feel you. Oh, there are many other characters, but these are three characters to consider today. Judas. What a warning. For those who know not Christ, he kissed the door to heaven, went out, was lost. Peter remained afar off, but knew what it was to be restored. And Mary, deeply troubled, and knew the comforting hand of the risen Christ upon her life. May something of this bless us today.